Our kids have said to us since we've moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Jason Wright Show. Today, I want to talk about something that I've mentioned on the show before that I think is absolutely imperative to any sort of success. Now, so as you know, the Jason Wright Show is a show dedicated to self-improvement. If you had to categorize it as anything, it would be a self-improvement podcast. I want you to come on this show, and hopefully I bring you something that gives you something to think about that will make you a little bit better, that will give you something to add to your nutritional protocol that will make you a little bit better, that will add to your cognitive load, the way you think about things. I just always want to try to bring things that will help you execute on a mission to improve always in all ways. To that end, there is something that I think we often take for granted, and now it's easier to take it for granted than at any other time for this reason. So we live in a world where knowledge is in a greater abundance than it's ever been in the history of the human experience. There has never been a time where you and I have had access to more knowledge. In fact, it's kind of interesting. I'm actually listening when I walk right now to The House of Morgan, which is the Ron Chernow biography of J.P. Morgan. Thus far, it is fantastic. Chernow also did Titan, the John D. Rockefeller biography, which I highly recommend. And as I'm listening to this book, I think to myself, okay, in his day, J.P. Morgan was the single most powerful financier in the world. He was, and by all accounts, the most powerful man in America. And yet his knowledge and his thinking were limited to a very, very select few who either knew him only from press releases, the myth that surrounded him, business interactions with some of his underlings, or maybe if you were a family member in his inner circle. But you or I had no access to J.P. Morgan. We would never know how to look at what he does and then hear him speak in his own words, because back then, for better or for worse, there definitely wasn't this rock star tycoon that was constantly telling you how they did what they did and what they were thinking. Whereas now we live in an era where we've got Warren Buffett. We know the Buffett rule. We are able to listen to Elon Musk talk about how he thinks and processes different problems. Bill Gates, all these amazing thinkers, Jeff Bezos, Sarah Blakely, we get to have insight into their stories and we can ask them. We don't have to wait for some biographer, although it's great to read their biographies, but we don't have to wait for the biography from Walter Isaacson of Steve Jobs to get an understanding of who Steve Jobs was. We can look at his interviews. We can go back and we can dissect the decisions that he made at Apple and then later on at Pixar and all the other things he did. And so I think that one of the things that, you know, having all that information out there is kind of a double-edged sword. We have so much information at our fingertips that I think that causes us to not ask as good of questions as we could. Not only that, we become not, we look at this thing that is Google that is such an amazing utility that we forget there's human beings that can answer our questions on data with experiences to go with it. And I think that's incredibly important. Here's what I mean. And here's what prompted today's episode or monologue on asking good questions and asking questions of other human beings. I'm reading again this book, Bird by Bird by Anne Lamott. I'm writing a book, and so I'm also, so as a result, I'm going back and rereading Anne Lamott's book, Bird by Bird, which is a book on writing. Anne Lamott is an incredibly accomplished author, as well as teacher on the writing process. And she's talking about how, in this description, what she's talking about is actually, if you're a writer and you don't have anything to write, and you're trying to describe something, and you've kind of come at a standstill, pick up the phone and start calling people and asking them questions. Get answers for the things that you're looking for. She was talking about how she was writing about a vineyard and trying to describe how beautiful it was. And sometime in the thought process, she starts thinking about the little wire things that are on the top of champagne bottles. Can you answer what the wire thing that's on top of a champagne bottle? Do you know what that is? Okay. Well, Anne Lamott didn't know. She got to thinking about it. She's like, well, I'm sitting here, I'm describing champagne bottles, and I'm talking about the wire thing. That has to have an actual name. There's no way at the vineyard in Champagne, whenever they deliver these things, there's just these big crates that come in that say wire things on top of them. That's not what it is. It's actually a thing, and I want to know what it is. So she decided to actually call the vineyard. And sure enough, the lady that answered the phone said, you know what? I've never thought about that. I've just always called them the wire thing. Let me connect you with someone else. And she ends up talking to this old, old guy that had worked in this vineyard for probably decades. And he said, oh, you must be referring to the wire cap. It actually does have a name. It's the wire cap. But then she went on to describe how she had a conversation with the guy. Now imagine as an author, you get the answer. You could have gotten that answer off Google. What is the wire thing called that's on the top of champagne bottles? And you would have found out it's a wire cap. But she had the opportunity to have a conversation with someone who actually worked in the vineyard. So therefore, she had much more flavor and texture and understanding of the wire cap, probably some of the history behind it, probably some of the evolutions of it. And she got to hear it from someone who had actually experienced and worked with this thing for decades, giving much more account of this little thing for her to put into her story in her book. And it's one of the things I think that we fall short of. And so my message today is simply this. One, never, ever, ever underestimate the power of asking really good questions. I've said it all the time. When people ask me, was going to graduate school and getting my MBA worth it? I don't know. I think so. I think so. But I can also, and if they ask me, well, what was it? What's the best thing that came from it? I said, well, aside from the network of good friends, I don't mean just the business network, which has been great, but really I have a network of amazing friends from my cohort. But the biggest utility value for me in going to graduate school was learning to ask really good questions. Learning to have the confidence to ask the questions, because when you're a guy like me and you feel like you're probably the dumbest guy in the entire cohort, and I did, that's not false humility. I felt like everyone, no matter who they were, was leaps and bounds above me in intellectual bandwidth in my program. So I already had that. I had this insecurity. So therefore, I didn't want to open my mouth and remove all doubt, as Lincoln once said about fools. I wanted to just sit quiet, and I was hesitant to ask questions. And then all of a sudden, I realized the smartest people in my cohort always asked the best questions, not necessarily the most questions, but the best questions. And so therefore, I have tried to become a better asker of questions. You know, it was Voltaire who said, judge a man by his questions, not his answers. The best answers always come from the best questions. And so, and look, ChatGPT has shown this. There is a skill to prompting. You can just ask, what is the thing at the top of a champagne bottle? But if you, and get some just direct answer. But if you are trying to get true meaning and understanding and texture for something, then you actually have to go deeper in the explanation of what you're actually looking for. You have to be concise with your question to get the best answer from ChatGPT or any other AI program. And I think that, and I think that's going to cause another problem too. I think we're going to have fewer and fewer people asking other human beings questions, because now we have things like ChatGPT. We can just go to the machines and ask them. And so my encouragement for you today would be, one, never underestimate the power of questions, but never underestimate the power of story. And the only way you can hear the story that goes with the question that you've asked is to go to another human being and ask them. I wish that I could have sat down with members of my family, my great-grandfather and my granddad that died when I was really young, to ask him questions about different crossroads and intersections of his life where he was scared, fearful. I remember I had the opportunity one time to sit down with a couple. It was when I had first bought my first real estate company. It was one of the first houses I ever sold for this couple, and they were in their 70s and paying cash for it. And we're sitting down, and I asked them a couple questions, probably stupid questions. I'm not saying they were good questions, but I got to hear the story of how when they were in their 20s, they went bankrupt. And he was like a handyman or a carpenter, some sort of a skilled tradesman. And he would go out and he would try to just find a lot of jobs, and they couldn't buy a house, and they had lost everything. And yet here they were at the closing table purchasing a home. And when I heard that story, then it prompted me to start asking questions about, how did you survive that time? Was it as bad as I would imagine? I mean, for me, one of my greatest fears of all time has always been going broke. They had gone broke, lost everything. And they described it to me that it brought them closer together, and it was hard. It caused them to struggle. It was everything you would think and then some, but there they were writing a check for a house. And it wasn't their first home. It's their last home. That's the last house they were buying. But I thought that was pretty cool. And I think that in this world where it's becoming more and more easy to become balkanized, atomized, just in our individual little pods, where essentially we don't have to interact with anyone. All the answers are there. I mean, you can sit in front of your computer and pretty much you can take free courses from MIT. You can get a college degree without ever having to sit in a classroom with another student. You can find the answers to almost anything you can conceive of just by sitting and pecking on your keyboard. That's not going to make you a good asker of questions. And the only way we can get really good at asking questions is to ask other human beings, because the other human being that will look across from us and say, I don't think you're asking the right question. I don't think you're asking the right question. And then you can dig a little deeper. So with that, I'm recording this on a Monday. And so I thought, what a great way to start off the week with kind of a mission to go out into the week and have a point when you're in conversations, or if you have a question, do this. Here's the challenge of the day. Try, instead of Googling something, find a question that you're about to Google at some point today, sometime this week. There's a question you have about something, how to analyze a project. I don't know. Who cares? Figure it out. There's something that you're going to the Googles for, and make the point to, instead of going to the Googles, pick up the phone and call an expert and ask them. Before you call them, try to figure out how to increase the quality of the question you might ask. Ask someone you've been wanting to talk to for a while. If you're someone who's been trying to make a connection on LinkedIn or something with a prospective employer or prospective client, someone that you just want to be in proximity of because you admire them, find a question that they are the expert for answering that question, and go to them. Ask them. You know, look, people love to give advice way more than they like to give favors. It's human nature. If you call someone up and you say, "Hey, can I ask a favor?" If you call someone up and say, "Hey, I need some advice," that's flattering. That's flattering. That's showing honor and respect. So go find a question, and go find someone who could benefit from to say that ego stroke, that sounds kind of transactional and trite. I don't like that, but I think you get the gist of it. So go find some really good questions to ask and then do that. Hone your skill. Improve your questions always. And I guarantee you will start to get much, much better answers. Thanks for listening. I'm Jason and I'm out.
Well, that does it for this episode of The Jason Wright Show. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a Texas Titan Media production. Fourth Wall did the music. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Please consider going out to jasonwrightnow.com and signing up for the Vitruvian Letter. Also, please go out to iTunes. It takes like 30 seconds to just leave us a 5-star rating. It does wonders for the podcast. I would be so grateful. And with that, until we meet again, go crush it and endeavor to improve always in all ways. I'm out.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See why CNBC ranks Minnesota number 4 best state to live and work. A great place to work, an even better place to live. ExploreMinnesota.com/live.